Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Uniform Flag. Order yours today with 100% of the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund.
So the American Heart Association, in conjunction with the CDC, says that a healthy blood pressure level is less than 120 over 80. I can guarantee you that mine was significantly higher than that on Saturday throughout the entire game, but especially that second half. We're going to hear from the rest of the team and see what their cardiologist told them after Army beat Air Force. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Jordan in Atlanta, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, James in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is the Ask Football Army Football Show brought to you by Uniform Flag. Uniform Flag delivers hand-dyed American flags made from donated U.S. military uniforms. They're 11 inches by 14 inches. You can carry true American spirit into your home or business. The flags are dyed, sewn, framed, and shipped by their small and mighty team of veterans in Columbus, Ohio. They use die-hard technology that ensures the colors won't run, and best of all, they donate 100% of their profits to support veterans in need via the Ranger Lead the Way Fund. Make sure you check them out and get rid of some of those old West Point uniforms you have sitting in your basement. Gentlemen, what a ride it was. Rob, you were not at the game, so I'll start with you. How are you feeling on this Monday after we beat Air Force and retained the Commander-in-Chief's trophy?
All right, so there's like a rut in my living room for me pacing back and forth during the fourth quarter. I was not happy with the fourth quarter just because, you know, the offenses were clicking and it was not working out so well for us. But, you know, at the end, I'm running around the house with my Army flag looking like a rabble-rouser on the sideline, cheering on the victory and, you know, it's better to be lucky than good, and that was an ugly way to finish overtime, but hey, points are points, and I will take it.
Win's a win. James, you were at the game, probably weren't allowed to pace as much as Rob and I. How are you feeling?
Better. You know, last week you told me, don't make this about yourself, when I, you know, had an issue with if it flies, it dies. And I'm glad that not everything that flew died, because if it weren't for over 200 passing yards, Army would not have won this game. And as first time in a long time, Army has thrown for nearly twice as much as they've rushed for. I don't know how to feel about that yet, but hey, a win is a win, and I am happy.
Yeah. Dan, I thought you were smoking crack, or you had moved to Vermont and sold everything, and you were living in a little shack in the woods, growing your own something. When you said Army was going to throw for over 150 passing yards, and that was right. And not only did we exceed it, we really blew right by that number. So tell us how it was being there. One, I guess being right. And then two, what was the game like?
Well, so this was our unofficial 26th reunion for this game. We got canceled by COVID last year. So there were like 200 of my classmates down there. We got together on Friday. I got so wrecked. I mean, I'm telling you, this was like legit drunk old grad style. Like, I have not been that drunk in probably 25 years since I was a cadet. Like, and then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, what am I thinking? So I have a crippling hangover when I go into this game. Mm-hmm. And so the whole first half, I was just sitting there like numb. But the second half, it's like, no, the team needs me. I have to get up and cheer my ass off. So I'm just telling you, like, what an experience. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm slowly coming back to myself. I was, holy smokes, what a game. I mean, I would never, ever miss this for anything ever again. It was one of the most fun weekends I've ever had.
That's awesome. You know, you talk about being numb. I think, at least for myself and probably most of the Army faithful, our left arms were feeling pretty numb in that that second half. But
it was wild. It was so wild.
Yeah, absolutely insane. It was a great game for us, though. You know, we beat Air Force. Air Force was coming in at 6-2, having absolutely curb-stopped Navy, and then we were able to come in, beat them in overtime, and win. Offensively, we had 316 yards of total offense, 5.6 yards per play. If you look at the box score, you would assume that Air Force edged Army in the fourth quarter in overtime. Not necessarily true, though. You know, first half, 0-0 at halftime. We really dominated third quarter. Fourth quarter, Air Force really kind of came back. And then, you know, overtime, we got lucky. I will say it is difficult when it's a tie ball game. Air Force is driving and you're sitting there and you're like, you know, if we would have only made that kick, we wouldn't have had to worry about some of this stuff. If we had points, we wouldn't be worried about overtime. If we'd only made that kick. But in the end, it didn't matter. Dan, can you take us through the rest of the offense?
Yeah, man, it was just tough sledding out there. You know, this Air Force rushing defense was very good. Like, we knew that going in. They held Army to 43 carries for 108 yards, one touchdown. I mean, I can't count the number of times it looked like Tyre Tyler was about to break a long run, and somebody who was totally out of position made an amazingly athletic play to get him by the shoestrings. That must have happened four times. You know, fullbacks got 34 yards total. Anthony Adkins, 7 carries, 21 yards. That's not terrible. You know, Jacoby Buchanan, 4 carries for 12 yards. He had one outstanding fourth down conversion, but it was just like they stacked the box. What are you going to do? You know, like we said, Tyler had 15 carries, 39 yards. I guess the one thing I'll say about this is if the defense is going to give you the pass, I think it is a real sign of progress that Army can throw and force them to change it up. And Air Force was very reluctant to change it up. But, you know, if they don't make some of those passing plays, then there's no chance that Christian Anderson can run for, what was it, like 8 yards to, you know, fumble the ball on the 0-yard line and have Booby Laws take it in for the touchdown. Like, you know, it was a wild finish, but there was stuff being set up the whole game that played off. And we should probably also note, you know, Tyrell Robinson, 4 carries, 18 yards. A.J. Howard, 1 carry, 10 yards. Like, it just – those guys very good against the run. But, yeah, Christian Anderson finished 7 of 12 passing, 175 yards, 1 touchdown. Tyre Tyler, 1 pass for 39 yards. Super clutch. So that's 8 of 13 overall, 61.5%. When we complete that many passes, it usually means good things can happen. I understand that probably 13 passes is more than Jeff Munkin wants to throw, but it's not a lot of passing. Like, it's just a very efficient passing game.
It is. And, you know, 8 of 13 – 2 or 3 of those were kind of throwaways.
So they were
really, if you subtract, you know, 2 or 3 of those, all of a sudden we're at 75-80% completion.
Absolutely,
that's pretty good.
Well, so yeah, he dumped it off out of bounds at least twice. Plus, they had the no call pass interference, and I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying, like, I don't think that was the quarterback's fault either. So none of the balls that hit the turf really were on the quarterbacks. They were like good decisions. Let me throw this away.
100%. Really happy with the way we played offensively. You know, you mentioned Anderson, 9 carries, 9 yards. A lot of those were negative yardage plays, though, just because blown up, or, you know, the play got strung out and they read it well, and, you know, he lost 4 yards or whatever it was. So he ran when he was able to get in space, he ran efficiently, but there were just a lot of plays where the defense really covered him up.
Oh, so, like I said, those guys are good. Like, we knew that. That's not a surprise. We knew that they were good defense.
Speaking of defense, Rob, can you take us through our defense?
Yeah, so great day for the defense. Although the score did not show it as much, the first half was great. They had a shutout. Great defense all around. They held the nation's leading rushing team to 175 yards on 50 carries. That's a lot of work for not a lot of progress because they only got about 3.5 yards per carry. So they shut down the fullback. Brad Roberts, he got 68 yards on 18 carries. Omar Fatah carried 12 times for 41 yards. Hazeek Daniels finished with 54 yards on 15 carries, but they forced Air Force to throw the ball. And that was the most important part. And again, when they forced Air Force to throw the ball, although they were not able to stop some of those deep passes, they contained them and prevent them from getting on the scoreboard, which was huge. And then again, if we would have gone into a second overtime period, I think, or a third, I think Army would have had the advantage because most of the movement in the second half for Air Force actually came through the passing game. Andre Carter continues to lead the team in sacks with 9.5. He is second in the nation behind some bum from K-State who has 11 sacks. Wouldn't call the guy. You know, he's leading the nation in NCAA in sacks, so he's probably not a bum, but he is from Kansas. In this game, he had
– That's so wrong. Somebody's screaming at their radio right now.
Yeah, true statement. It's God's country, but I don't ever see it. Andre Carter had 8 tackles in this game, a sack, and a critical forced fumble on fourth down, which was huge. Cameron Jones came up big with an interception off of the trickeration, which is a word that is now forbidden in the Firstie Club because there's several complaints about people saying that. I guess that was part of the broadcast team that mentioned it, and it was just like, ugh. Bottom line is the interception didn't slow down their desire to throw, but I think it kind of prevented them from going deep into the playbook to add like a reverse or some other trick play on the offensive side or special teams, which probably helped us in the long run after that poor execution on the halfback pass.
Trickery, I don't know who coined that term, but yeah, we don't use that anymore. Overall, though, Rob, are you happy with the way the defense bounced back compared to where we were against Wake Forest?
I'm still a little bit concerned about the secondary, but I think it's just the defensive set that we play because you know they're in zero coverage, so they have no safeties over the top, and so that does make you susceptible to, you know, the double moves on the out routes or whatever. But I think as long as we continue to get pressure from the pass rush up front, as long as our front four is getting to the quarterback, then you can take those kind of risks. So as long as you're aggressive, I'm willing to take a 15 or 20 yard pass as long as you're getting after the quarterback. And so I think that's a more important statistic. And seeing that we got a guy that's number 2 in the nation with sacks, they're getting it done in other ways. But I would prefer not to have our corners on an island against a receiver that's like 4 to 6 inches taller than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Special teams, James.
All right, so we had 3 kickoff returns for 49 yards. I believe 2 of them got past the 25, and 1 was about the 23, so that's a net positive. We got off 5 punts without any issues. They did send the punt block towards the end of the first half, and we didn't have any issues defending that. So that's always good to see. Didn't allow any punt return yardage. We were about 18 inches, I guess, from getting a coffin corner inside the 1, and then it bounced into the end zone. So great, great things from Zach Harding. The field position game certainly mattered, with a lot of back and forth on Saturday. Cole Talley, did hit all of his extra points, but also missed an early chip shot field goal. I was up in the second deck, so I don't know if it was his fault or a bad hold or what happened. That was one of the things that could have ended up costing us later in the game.
Yeah, totally agree. Like I said, that punt, I was getting nervous. So obviously very special game, just the fact that it's a Service Academy rivalry and, you know, second leg of the CIC. The fact that it's in a baseball stadium is a little unique. Fact that it's a neutral site for the first time in, I don't know what they said, 50 years, something like that. Also unique, really special game day experience. Rob and I were not there. Dan and James were. So I'm just going to kind of open the floor to you guys. Just give your takes on the game, the experience, because, you know, Everyone who's listening to this watched the game. They know what happened, but not everybody was there. So if you can really just provide some context for the viewers on what it was like to have everybody together and maybe what we can expect at Army-Navy, and then also what was it like to watch a football game in a baseball stadium. So floor is yours for a couple minutes, guys.
So yeah, I was about 6 rows off the field, which was a little lower in retrospect than I think you probably want to be in a baseball stadium. We were also a good 30 yards back from the sideline. So there's a lot of empty space between us and the action on the field. And it was hard to tell why things are happening. Although, to be fair, if you're that low, it can also be hard to tell why things are happening anyway. But the game day experience itself is awesome. I mean, the stadium is great. It's big, roomy, very comfortable. I was there with 2 of my very best friends in the whole world. And we got to see a win. I got to meet James. The wildest thing about James is that he's like a totally happy, upbeat dude in real life. His wife is beautiful and she's totally cool. Dude is absolutely living his best life. So despite the fact that I think he is kind of a cynical, frustrated guy when he's watching the Army team and they're not performing to his expectations, the reality is James is awesome. And so that was cool. And I'll shut up and let him take it.
Yeah, well, I was a little bummed. You know, I wish I could meet your wife so I can say great things about her, although I know that I already can because she puts up with you. I am looking forward in the future to meeting your wife.
She's in Army Navy.
Yeah. But you know, it was awesome to meet Dan for the 5 or so minutes that we get to talk at halftime. And then when I was still buzzing off my mimosas and my wife said that we were passing you and I totally missed you going in the corridor. About 10 minutes.
Oh, I missed you too. Don't feel bad.
Fair enough.
Dude, I was green. I did the best I could. I was barely holding it together.
Unlike Dan, I was not out the night before because I was driving there. If you want to hear about a fun Airbnb drama, I won't bore you now, but go check it out on Twitter. Got in late the night before and tailgated with some friends of mine who I found out are actually high school friends or know from high school, Ty Lavatai. So that was interesting. Got to talk to him about that a little bit. And then we went to the game and we had some mimosas. We went in. The baseball stadium was clearly built to be able to have football games. And I could appreciate that. We were on the 50-yard line in the second deck. I felt like I was second deck at Mikey by the press box. Like, it wasn't that far removed from the field. So that was good. I don't know that we'll ever see it there again. This was the lowest attended Army Air Force game since, I believe, 2006. So I'm not quite sure we'll see it in a neutral site again. I think they like it as a home game, but I did appreciate getting to see it in a neutral field. And selfishly, I'll enjoy getting to go to the game next year. But I really enjoyed the game day experience. And afterwards, they have the big, live Texas Live by Lowe's across the street. And it's one of those massive, mega bar centers, which was a really cool experience. I actually ran into Mike Buddy there. Absolute class act. Got to talk to him for about 2 or 3 minutes, but it was a really good experience.
I gotta say, I really hope that this neutral site thing continues for a little while. I do understand that Coach Munkin was supposedly not super happy about playing football in a baseball stadium. I get that. It was just like, this felt like a Service Academy rivalry game to me. There were tailgates everywhere. People were out there partying it up. The split stadium was cool. It's always awesome when you win a game in front of the other side like that. And, normally Army Air Force is like a nasty freaking rivalry and we have nothing good to say about them, but actually humanizing the Zoomies a little bit was probably good for my soul. So, I have nothing to complain about there either. I will say the Zoomies that I've met, especially the young ones, were all like, yeah, I'm a fighter pilot. I'm a badass, but I'm probably the cockiest person on earth. So I wasn't hurt my feelings. It was just a thing.
Right. Now, unfortunately, the reason I don't think, and again, I agree, selfishly, I want it to continue to be a neutral site game because it was really cool. But, the Army Air Force game was going to be at Mikey next year, and it probably was going to be the only sellout of the year. And now, Mikey may or may not have a sellout next year. So it's kind of hard to justify putting it in a stadium where you got to pay rent when you could sell out a home game. So I'm not sure if it'll continue. I would like it to, though.
I think Army and Air Force must have made some money on this because the Texas Rangers were supposedly very fired up about the way it went, and they want to continue doing this going forward. So I don't know. I agree that it's all about the money. I don't know where the money is going to be on this, but I would not necessarily say that it was a net monetary negative. I mean, look at it from the Rangers' perspective. The stadium would have been empty if this game wasn't there. So,
it's a good question for Mr. Buddy in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, also, it was almost like a mini bowl game. Lockheed Martin came in and there was a trophy and there was all this other stuff. So I got to imagine that there was a lot of corporate money thrown around as well. And then even if, let's say we broke even, it'd be great to sell out Mikey, but just the exposure we get, I think, is something that, we can't look past either. And just reunions and stuff like that. I mean, we saw people were hitting us up the day of, like, hey, do you know anybody who's selling tickets because I'm deciding to go last minute because I found out all my friends are going? Like, there was a lot of that, and it's a hell of a lot easier to get to Dallas, Texas than it is to get to Highland Falls, New York. So,
yeah, absolutely. Dude, everybody was there. I mean, I had like 200 friends there. It was so wild. Do not miss this game. I'm telling you, do not miss this next year. And then I don't know. We'll see what happens after that. But do not miss this next year because it was fun as all hell.
Moving on past the game day experience onto the good, the bad, and the ugly. Dan, I believe you wanted to take the good.
Yeah, I just, listen, we didn't see a lot of refs throwing flags. I felt like that was fair. That was good. Refs let the guys play. That was good. Brett Davis, God knows we've been tough on that guy before, but this was an outstanding game by him. Even the stuff that didn't work, I thought was mostly the right call. And he was an eyelash away from breaking any number of long runs. So that was great. I got this on from Sal, so I just want to hat tip to Sal for this one. Wide receiver Isaiah Alston now has a catch in four straight games. It's been a long, long time since we've had that at Army. He's got 13 catches for 256 yards in the last four games. That's like legitimate wide receiver production. And then, you know, location, I just, you know, I know Mike Buddy listens to this, so my two cents for whatever it's worth, this was an outstanding weekend. Felt like a Service Academy rivalry game. You know, it was 1,000% more collegial than usual for Army Air Force. I know we're contracted to do this one more time. It wasn't Army that decided to end these neutral site games. That was a Zumi decision. So I am here for this going forward. I'll shut up about it, but I'm just telling you, like, I had the time of my life. I really did.
Saw all your antics on social media, and I was a little jealous.
Yeah, man. Well, if you'll be there next year, I mean, you know, don't miss it. I'm telling you, do not.
All right. Rob, you want to take the bad?
Yeah, so the bad. All right, the first thing is Army struggled to run up against the middle against the loaded box, but I think that's just been the trend that we've seen all season. I think basically the preseason announcement is like, yeah, we're going to be running up the middle a lot, kind of set opposing teams' defenses against us, and so they've been stacking the box inside. I also think the success from Ball State really is kind of what tipped it over. The bad news is we let a few teams push them out of their comfort zone, which is the fullback dive during the games. And then I think it shows the growth in the pass, so that's not really bad, but I definitely think it was for sure part of the unfortunate piece of it. And then I'm just going to jump onto the ugly real quick, just because, again, I mentioned it in the previous podcast or on the other channel, but we were talking about this. And look, man, like, if you're going to have a neutral site game, have a neutral team, or at least do one and one. Pull one of the Air Force commentators and one of the Army commentators and put them in the booth together.
Or disclose it.
You know, for the fact of the matter is, like, this made me really want to just, like, buy that stupid app that syncs up with your hometown broadcast on TuneIn or Sirius and just listen to it that way, because those guys were awful. Like, if I would have been at the stadium, I probably would have got thrown out, because I would have climbed up into the broadcast booth and thrown a nine banger in there and called it even, because those guys were terrible.
Let me just jump in here. The Varsity app is a free app that broadcasts the Army game, and it's not perfectly synced, but it's pretty good. I have listened to it multiple times when these guys get too much for me, and you know, Rich DeMarco is not going to do you wrong. So yeah, don't do that again. Just get that Varsity app and put it on, because it's way worth it. I did that during the Wisconsin game, because it was just horrible.
Yeah, those guys are terrible. Like, do not listen to other teams' commentary, because really what it is if they don't know the team, it makes it very, very difficult for the play-by-play. And then the other part of it is it's just like, God, man, like, these dudes literally, like, should have been, like, popping bottles in the freaking – in the stands every time Air Force made a great play. And it's like, come on, just call the game evenly. That's all I really want. But I'll pass it to James real quick, because he says he has one thing that he would like to add to the ugly as well.
Yeah, all right, Zumi fans. I know you guys probably aren't listening to this podcast, but Army fans, when you deal with your Zumi fans who complain about the one below the waist penalty at the end of the game, tell them that that is their penance for redshirting their entire defense last year, and leave
there
it
there. You
down.
Go.
And damn boom. Right. Yeah. I was interested to see how that was going to play out. And similar to the Army Navy game in 2017, when they had two false start penalties and that kind of screwed them, that below the waist penalty really screwed Air Force. Moving on to fact or fiction review, Dan said that Army threw for 150 yards total. That was a fact. Rob said we had a fullback touchdown. That was a fiction. However, we did have an offensive lineman recover a fumble for the touchdown overtime. I guess that kind of counts. I don't know. It was big boy touchdown. So, and then finally, James said Army combines for at least three sacks and one interception. That was a fiction. One interception and one sack. Dan, you want to take us through the commercial?
Yes, I do. So we have a new sponsor on As for Football, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. He's a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is one of the largest VA lenders in all of America, based out of Chicago, but a licensed mortgage lender in all 50 states. Guys, Craig has super competitive rates, going to give you the best deal he possibly can. If you're buying or refinancing a house, spoiler alert, it is confusing as all hell. Deal with somebody who actually cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. You know, Craig is a dude. He will answer your phone calls. He cares about you because he's one of us. You know, he's one of you. This is actually how the West Point network functions. You know, Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you get the best deal you possibly can on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man who can help you finance your house. Plus, he doesn't charge a lender's fee for veterans, which is amazing. It'll save you $1,300. Go get that money. What are you doing? I'm trying to help. Go get that money. $1,300. So go on our website, find Craig Oxane, and just click on the link. Fill it out. It's easy. Like, it couldn't even be easier. I mean, buying a house is complicated, but he's going to make this part of it as easy as he can. And I guess as long as I'm doing this, I'll talk about our mailing list too. But quickly, we have a mailing list. Your dad, who's not on social media, go to our website, sign him up for our mailing list. He doesn't want to follow us on social media, and we don't care if he does or not. He doesn't have to. Just mailing list. It's easy. AskForFootball.com/subscribe. And with that, guys, I got to get out of here because I got to go take my daughter to dance. So thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan. So Dan's leaving, but we're going to keep plowing through the Bucknell preview. So the Bucknell Bison are 1-8 this season. They're quite possibly the worst team in the entire Patriot League. Their one win came against Ivy League Cornell. James, I know you watch weird football conferences. Have you seen Bucknell in action at all this year?
You know, I don't watch a lot of FCS. I have a lot of friends that do, and one of my former co-hosts of Brigade Review does quite a bit. But yeah, this is not a good team. Jeff Sagarin, who does the computer rankings, the pretty famous computer rankings for college football, he's one of the few that also does FCS rankings, and I believe that he has Bucknell as like the fifth worst team in the nation in Division One. So,
wow.
You know, this is not a great team.
Yeah, they've been blown out in most of their games, lost 21-0 to Sacred Heart, 55-3 to Villanova, 60-3 to Penn, 27-0 Lafayette, 66-21 Fordham, 33-10 Colgate, 38-6 Lehigh. They're averaging 9.8 points per game while allowing 34.3 in the FCS Patriot League. That is terrible. Great news. Dan is back, has another 20 minutes. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, what, you know, what? Let's just get hung over again. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, Dan, take us through the offense.
What offense? These guys have had four different guys play quarterback this season. Not counting trick plays, the Bison are 124 for 251 passing. That is 49.4%. Five touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Does that sound good? How about 19 sacks? I mean, it's just, it's god awful. They haven't even played anybody. That's the worst part, except Villanova. Villanova smoked them bad. But anyway, leading rusher is running back Jared Cooper. However, Jared Cooper averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Now, guys, against 1-8 Lehigh in the FCS Patriot League, this team rushed for 14 yards on 17 carries. That's less than 1 yard per carry. They threw for 156 yards and three interceptions. I'm telling you, this might be the worst offense that has ever come to Mikey Stadium in the 150-year history of the stadium. Like, I can't believe, honestly, how bad this team is.
Yeah, let's hope those words don't come back to bite us.
Oh, no kidding.
I would love for this to be an absolute blowout. Rob, defensively, are they good?
Yeah, so they have two players on defense, Slim and Nunn. Their defense has walked out the door a long time ago. This team is allowing 215 yards rushing per game. That's 5.4 yards per carry. They have a whopping 24 rushing TDs against them, 14 passing TDs. Lehigh, who is 1-8, ran for 164 yards and threw for 244 yards against this defense. The defense is not good. Like, sometimes it makes you wonder when teams field a FCS or an FBS program and they lose all but one or two of their games. It's unfortunate because, again, you know, those kids are student athletes. They came to college to be competitive, and they're not. And then, of course, as you start losing, you start falling into quicksand, and it just gets harder and harder to show up for the game every week. And then, oh, by the way, you're about to play an Army team that's coming off on an emotional high of beating a rival in a great rivalry game in a great location, and you're praying for that letdown. But even with a letdown from Army, I don't think that Bucknell has the juice to beat them. And I will pause there so I don't start crying about this poor defense.
So, James, I think we do have a glimmer of hope for Bucknell on special teams. Can you?
Oh, yeah. An absolute special team stronghold, 4 or 5 on field goals on the year. So if we end up, you know, finding ourselves in a nail biter in the fourth quarter, we're gonna have to look out for the Bison field goal unit.
Consider that this team has played 9 games and attempted 5 field goals.
How many have we attempted?
I don't know, but, you know, Army has scored some touchdowns. I mean,
that's fair. It's a good point.
So, bottom line, the line opened at Army -54.5. So, for those of you that don't bet, that means Army is favored by 55 points or almost 8 touchdowns. Good luck finding a place to actually bet on that, though. Should be a good day for a game. Might be cold early, but the high is expected to be in the mid to upper 50s. Decent number of tickets still available for the games. If you want to see what the next generation of Army Stars look like as plebes, this is probably your best chance of the year to do that. A lot of the guys who've been in sweats and beanies on the sidelines will probably actually get to put on pads this week and get some reps. So good for the program. You know, get a win, get bowl eligible. Be fantastic. And then we have UMass the weekend after. So hopefully two weekends of wins and then, you know, going into Liberty. So takes on the game, Dano, you're first.
I don't think this team is remotely as good as the Lafayette team that came into Mikey Stadium and got destroyed 66-3 a few years ago. I honestly believe that Army's scout team would win this one by 30. The prep school team would probably win by 25. So, you know, yeah, we're going to see kids that we've never heard of in this game by halftime. I'll be a little surprised if Christian Anderson even takes a snap. I mean, what's the point? But listen, I don't know. Whatever the coaching staff chooses to do, I will be okay with it. I would like to see Cade Ballard get in the game and do one thing besides throw an interception. The poor guy has had one chance to shine, and it didn't work out for him. So I'd like to see what he's got this season.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him and Laws kind of go in and rotate a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, I think the motivation to go bowling will help to win big this season or in this game. So, you know, you blow out Bucknell and UMass, and it postures you to at least get a better game, a higher profile bowl game. I mean, I know that we've got the conditional bowl game, of course, but if you blow these other teams out and have a decent record at the end of the year, you may get a better bowl or somebody might fall out or go to a bigger bowl. And so it gives you a good chance of kind of moving in. But I think this will be depth chart exploration. So for those of you guys that like to follow the players on the team, you might want to print out your depth chart this week so you know who's on the field, because there may be some multiple numbers out there and it may not be the normal cast of characters that you're used to seeing. James.
Priority number one this week is keep the starting 22 healthy. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. I don't want to see I don't care if it's Jabari Laws. I don't care who it is. I don't want to see anyone that I've seen already this season getting escorted off by the training staff. Get those guys out as soon as you can.
Completely agree. And, you know, selfishly, my brother's a plebe, so I would love to see him get some play time and get some pancakes.
Absolutely. So,
like I said, should be a great game this weekend. Only thing I would be conscious of is, you know, riding the emotional high of Air Force and then, you know, yeah, we're not going to have the starter start or whatever the plan is. And then if it's halftime and, you know, we're up 14-7 or something like that, that would be a little cause for concern. But Bucknell is so horrible. We should just blow right past them. So that being said, fact or fiction?
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction?
Incorrect.
I will start. Army runs for 500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and I have purposely made this an absurdly high number. 510. Rob. Okay. Jordan?
Fact.
Yeah, I'm going to – that's fact agreement. It's going to be ugly.
Well, that's not
Come
a fact
on,
agreement.
James. Come on.
We didn't need to rush for 10 touchdowns against Houston when we put up 70.
All right. Okay. So this team, you think this team's defense is as good as Houston's?
No, but I think that 10 touchdowns is a little absurd, and we're going to have somebody who probably weighs 130 pounds playing quarterback by the end of the game.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to say fact. If I said 400, I would feel really, really good about that. So I purposely, like, I could see multiple pitch plays just going for 90 yards. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I just think this is going to be a wild game. So I take it both my kids to it. Should be interesting. Rob?
All right.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jordan.
Nope, yeah, Rob, you're up.
Yeah, I think Andre Carter will retake the NCAA sack lead after this game, and he might actually have some cushion. I didn't put a number in there, but I think given the number of sacks that Bucknell has given up, there's a good chance that Andre Carter will show out on his two series, and then somebody else will be trying to catch up with him overall on the team in the second half.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to say fact.
Oh, man, I'm going to say fiction just because if he plays that long, I think that's like a strategic error. I mean, I don't know how his body's feeling or whatever, but if he plays for an entire half, that would be a lot of playing time, in my opinion. I mean, he'd need a sack and a half, which I guess is totally possible even in just a couple of series, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think a sack and a half is out of the question, but there's also like four players ahead of him, and I just think one of those guys that's going to play a full 60 minutes will have a better chance of doing it, so I'm going to go fiction as well.
All right, James, what's your question for us?
So I got Army wins by 40. Very simple, Dan.
Fact. Anything less than 40 would be a pretty bad disappointment, being honest.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, a win is a win. Don't get me wrong. If they win by 2 points, I'll find a way to be happy about it. But honestly, winning by 40 points in this particular game would be a disappointment. I mean, you know, listen, not that it matters, not that you get any different credit for it, but I'm just saying. The expectation, I think, should be more than that.
Okay. Jordan?
Fact. Ditto everything Dan said.
All right. And Rob?
I'm going to say fact, but it should be 55, just a cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm not saying that the spread isn't that, although, again, good luck trying to find that spread, but it's really a question of, is this game going to be a repeat of a Citadel game or of a Lafayette game?
Oh, dude. Yeah, the Citadel will beat these guys by 30.
I hope so.
All right, so I guess I will close it out with our favorite thing and just a note about how to support the show. Got a note from Craig Oxane this morning telling me that he'd gotten his first lead off the podcast. So somebody out there is going to get a good deal on a mortgage from Craig, and that was awesome because it makes us look like heroes. Plus, Army retained the control of the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. You know, life is good here in Ashford football land. And if you want to join us on Patreon and experience that, like go to patreon.com/Ashford football. And, you know, you can read our extra articles. Join the Firstie Club if you are so inclined. It's a good place to talk about the game, and we have a lot of fun. So that's it. And thank you very much. Anybody got anything else?
Nope. Beat Bucknell.
All right. Beat Bucknell. Beat him.
Beat him. Yes, we need to beat them because bison tastes delicious.
Thanks for listening to Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the Ask for Football team provides you more hot takes and insights to the Army football season. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Uniform Flag. Get a great conversation piece for your home or office. A handmade American flag made by veterans from actual U.S. military uniforms. These custom flags will add mystique to anywhere that you choose to display them. With all the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund, sign up for our mailing list and get the latest info at askforfootball.com. Stay tuned for new episodes coming to a podcast platform near you.